From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There is also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything from the first hour, all available on podcastarena.com, full show podcast. And joining us this hour at 5:30, as he does most Tuesdays when he's not doing kid stuff or hurting himself in the garden, top 10 columnist in the country, Jerome Solomon from the Houston Chronicle. So should be a fun hour. A lot of football in the first hour, but it's kind of an important time in the NFL with all the free agents action happening tomorrow, and I think a lot of teams are going to reshape themselves, and it'll also define how a lot of teams draft. So we'll be focusing on that quite a bit. Just a couple of follow-ups from some people on Twitter. And Greg says, should the Texans just stack the defense since there really isn't a franchise quarterback on the radar? Yeah, except at some point, you've got to try to find one. And you know, maybe that winds up being Brock Osweiler, although I think as we've said, I don't think either one of us think he's leaving Denver. But
no.
If you make an effort on that and, you know, you don't get him, okay, you move down the list to the next one. You've got to try to find some kind of long-term answer at that position. And it's hard to find him. You know, the Browns have been looking for one forever. They're going to use another high pick on one this year and hope that they get one. So, you know, you have to take some chances. I think this one, if they were able to pull it off, that would, you know, it's a great gamble to take. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it's a lot better than just sitting around saying, maybe we can.
Maybe we'll try again next year.
Yeah, maybe Tom Savage will be the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is at least a legitimate swing for the fences. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, why don't we a bunch of calls here. Why don't we try Jerry?
Jerry!
Yeah, it's Gary.
Jerry! I knew it was Gary the whole time.
Even though it's spelled
J-E-R-R-Y. There you go.
Even though it's spelled J-E-R-R-Y on our screen. I'm not making that up, right?
No.
Okay,
it does say
you.
Jerry. Our intern dropped the ball on that.
Okay.
That's all right. Hey, I guess, my question is about football and where it's, you know, I know passing quarterbacks, they put fans in the seats. I understand that. And I guess I'm about to give up my age a little bit when I talk about teams that, you know, had a two-back set in the backfield, you know. And I'm a little bit wondering what's happened to the running game across the board. I mean, everybody kind of, you know, goes to the single-back set. And they're looking for Adrian Peterson's and Ari Foster was good. He did his work. But what was going on that they couldn't have seen Ben Tate and Foster back there when you had Chubb that wasn't putting up the numbers that's representative of good, you know, passing quarterbacks? And will we never see teams that are run first, you know, pass second, unless you've got an Adrian Peterson in the backfield or Marshall Faulk or somebody, you know? So that's just it. What's going on with that? And could the Texans, you know, go anywhere with a two back set and do anything?
The running game in the NFL has been dying for years, and there are very few. You won't see it very often. You won't see teams that are run first teams unless you've got a special back, and there just aren't very many of those. And you even saw in Seattle, they kind of started to transition away from it. Minnesota's a run first team. St. Louis is a run first team. The list is short.
But for those teams to win, they're going to have to be able to pass the ball at some point.
No doubt.
And the reason for that, and to your question, the rules have changed, and You can't mug receivers the way you used to be able to when teams like the Dolphins were winning Super Bowls with Mercury Morris and Jim Kick and guys like that and Larry Zonka. Receivers had a harder time getting open, and they've changed the rules so the defensive backs can't do the things they used to do, and it makes it easier for the passing game to thrive, and that's why you have to have one. And if you don't have a good passing game, then you better do what the Broncos did last year and play beyond elite defense and, you know, not make mistakes with your quarterback, because they didn't run the ball very well either.
Yeah.
And somebody says Cowboys are a run first, but you know what? They can throw the ball too.
When they were run Romo's first up. Last year when Tony Romo's gone.
Yeah. Well, they ran the ball a lot the year before with DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
But they won games because they could throw it, because they've got Dez Bryant, because they've got Tony Romo. If you just run the ball the whole time, you're not going to win as many games. Not unless you have an elite defense. Now, a good running game, and the other thing too is, and this kind of goes back to Bill Walsh, I think, going to a West Coast offense where they used a lot of passes as runs, so you would still have these long drives that took a lot of time. It's just they were short passes, and that still kept your defense off the field. And then that kind of evolved into, well, everybody throws the ball now. And you know, the Patriots, some weeks they'll go out there and run the ball 35 times, and then some weeks they'll run it twice. It just depends on the matchup. But for the most part, you've got to be able to throw the football to be successful. Let's try.
And by the way, Ben Tate sucked. That's why Ben Tate wasn't in the backfield. Ben Tate wasn't a good player.
Ben Tate had one good season as a backup, basically.
Yeah.
Which.
But he wasn't like a good player.
You know who else had one good season? Back. Steve Slayton.
Yeah.
Ron Dane had one good season.
Those guys are bums.
713-780-ESPN. Let's try Bass. What's up, Bass?
Hey, sports guys. I really love your show. Been listening ever since I transplanted here from New Orleans. Just saw something where Mario Williams has reached an agreement with Miami. They're going to line him up next to Ndamukong Suh. They brought in Byron Maxwell, who technically probably should be playing linebacker or something the last couple of days. Tannehill may or may not make a couple of strides. I just want to know what you guys think about what Miami's doing over the last few days / last few years.
Yeah, we talked about that the first hour.
A lot of people want to talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Since when are people interested in the Dolphins?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dolphins are going to be really good defensively if they make this stuff work out.
Yeah.
Dolphins are still going to be a trash heap on offense.
I think they probably, unless Ryan Tannehill takes a big step forward, which I thought he would take last year if he was going to do it, then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the Williams signing. I'm not crazy about Maxwell. I've said that. I like Kiko Alonso. I think those are good additions. But if you subtract Cameron Wake from that team, or Vernon, which you're going to have to subtract one of them.
If you had Mario.
Yeah, then, I don't know how much of a net gain it is. I think you're better, but I don't know how much. Boy, here's another tight end deal. Ben Watson to the Ravens, 2 years, $8
million.
So now we kind of see what the tight end numbers are going to be. So $4 million a year.
All right. How long has Ben Watson been in the league?
Forever. And you know what? I think he did have a really good season last year with the Saints. But he'll be a good fit in Baltimore. I think Baltimore is a team that's going to bounce back.
He's
this year.
35.
Jeez.
Wow.
2004 draft.
That's pretty old. Foster asked, I'm curious if you guys think this is a make or break year for Clowney. He says Clooney, but I'm pretty sure he meant Clowney. Yeah. You know, Clooney just did a pretty whole bunch of good movies. So, I don't know, make or break, because realistically, you're not cutting him before the end of his contract at 2017. So, I would say he's not a bust yet, but you can sure see it from here. I'd like to see him have that breakout year and be healthy and be, you know, 80% of the player they thought he might be. And if he doesn't, then we're going to be looking at 2017 saying, boy, if he doesn't break out this year, which will be a contract year, so you know he will, then he's a bust. And I think you see the flashes, And you get excited at times, but you also realize, they're just flashes. And until he can stay healthy and get out there and become the kind of player that they think he can be, and if he does, this defense takes a huge step forward next year. I think he makes an incredible impact. But we'll see. Is that QB or OB? I can't tell.
QB, it says.
No, we'll try QB. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, sports QB.
Hey, sports fellas. My question is: Do y'all feel like that Brock Osweiler is worth $45 million rather than going into the Texas franchise, going into the draft, and just picking up a rookie QB? Now I'm hanging up a list.
I mean, I think Brock Osweiler is better than anybody you can pick at number 22.
At least for next year.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to if you're going to invest money anywhere, I'm not going to have many problems with you investing at quarterback. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you overpay at this point for quarterbacks, that's what it takes. We've talked about that a lot.
Well, and you look at all the guys out there who got big deals, and you could say, well, they're not really worth it, but then what do you replace them with?
Right.
Andy Dalton, was he worth it? That was an awful big contract. He was playing like he was worth it before he got hurt. Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, all these guys, if you think you have your quarterback, you have to pay him. And if the Texans think he's the guy, or if the Broncos think he's the guy, Broncos are going to have to pay him $15 a year. That's just the going rate for a quarterback. Is it fair? I don't know. Is it right? Well, if you think you've got one, you got to pay him. So, 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. I could tell you one thing that would be a guarantee, and this works every time. So if the Texans were looking to do something and make sure that they got it right, well, they could donate those vehicles that they don't have anymore to Houston Can Academies. And I want you to give my friends a call at HoustonCarsForKids.com. If you've got any kind of vehicle, whether it's in your garage or in your backyard, and it may be covered in grass and it doesn't start anymore, it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in, they're going to come tow it free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They'll take care of all the paperwork. It's fast. It's easy. A lot of Blitzers have done it. They've all said the same thing. Man, they take care of everything. And if you donate today, you get a free $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. And what they do with these vehicles, that money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies, which is a fantastic, fantastic school. What they do is they give kids a second chance. They get these at-risk kids who've had to drop out before, and they work around them. They give them all the things they need. If they need transportation, they do that. If they're hungry, they even feed them. And they're graduating great, great kids out of there. They're going on to do terrific things. And it's all because of the donations. It's all made possible by the donations of these vehicles. So give them a call right now, 713-225-4226. Tell them to come get your vehicle. And 713-225-4226. Or if you're out driving around right now, you want to wait till you get home, just go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz so you can get that $50 Visa gift card. Remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. Back row Baptist asks, is RG3 off the table for the Texans at this point? And how is the beer? He gave us a really cool beer, which I haven't tried yet. It may be tonight. Brews his own beer. And
I'm excited for that.
I am too. It looks fantastic. I just haven't had a chance to drink it yet. I don't think he's off the table because I don't know what their priority list is. And I think they're probably going to go down their list and, okay, this is their first choice, this is their second choice, this is their third choice. I don't know what number he is on that list. I get the sense he's not very high up there. And to me, if you strike out on Osweiler, I would like to see him brought in on a small deal, a make good deal, and see if it works out. But I'd also be drafting somebody.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN.
Hey, feel like we've been sort of burying some stories that I guess like we never got to Calvin Johnson retiring.
Today. No, no.
We didn't even get to Nancy Reagan dying yesterday.
No, which first female president.
I feel guilty about.
Yeah, can we have dust in the wind for Nancy Reagan?
Yeah.
Would that be cool?
Who are the Republicans going to talk about now? My favorite. What's your favorite thing about Nancy Reagan? First of all, do you think Nancy Reagan was hot before she got old?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I actually, what a lot of people don't know is she's the one that pushed him to run and become the face of conservatism, and really had a lot to do with everything that Ronald Reagan did. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
My favorite thing about her is she was known as a really, really talented oral sex giver.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. She was is renowned for her ability to work the mic.
Damn. You know, that's a skill that doesn't go away.
No. But that's... She's... she was... I was doing a lot of reading on this. I knew it before, and then when she died, I thought maybe we'd get a chance to talk about it, and I wanted to know, like, you know, if it was just an urban legend or something like that. But in Kitty Kelly's biography about Nancy Reagan, she was renowned in Hollywood for performing oral sex. They called her Just Say Yes Nancy in the days when she was Nancy Davis. She was known to give the best in town.
Wow.
Not only in the evening, but in offices. That was one of the reasons she was very popular on the MGM lot. Must have made her very happy with good old Ronnie as well. But I think that's something to be held in regard.
Okay.
I do think she was pretty hot, too.
Yeah. Even when she was older. Not like really old. But
what's funny is the way they met is, I guess she was looking to get in, get into the movie business thing, and he had just like become some sort of like president of like an actors guild or something like that, and he said, "Yeah, come on down to my office. I'd love to meet with you," and she did.
Well, that's probably probably how she got the job.
Probably so. Good for her.
One job leads to another.
Yeah.
That's how things usually work.
That's right. You give that job, hey, you know, you're likely to get the other one. Also, Ronald Reagan, the only ever president who was a divorcee. Nancy was not his first wife. So Ronald had been through one before, and I think he's the only president who has that honor. No one has ever had 3.5 marriages before. You would be the first if you were to run.
I'm not going to run, though.
Okay.
I've reached that decision. It's not going to happen. 713-780-ESPN. Cole wants to talk about Nancy Reagan. Should we let him on? Because God knows where this is going to lead.
Sure.
Let's do it, Cole.
Hey, it's kind of random, but I was listening, I guess it was yesterday, listening to some radio show, and they had a guy call in basically disrespecting Nancy Reagan, saying F her husband for introducing drugs into different neighborhoods across America, whatever, and that saying he wouldn't tell her or give her a rest in peace, whatever type deal. Basically a big F you to her and her husband, and just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
That's unfortunate.
Listen. Yeah, it is. Don't listen to those shows.
Yeah.
Would be my suggestion.
Who said that?
You said you heard it on another radio show. Oh. Don't listen to those shows.
Give me details if that's the case.
Yeah.
I want to know who's disrespecting Nancy. An oral princess like that? A great orator? Or orator? Or oralter? Or something.
Yeah. Hey, I'm for.
Respect.
I am for. I did not know that, but she just went way up in my cool book.
I see.
And Mike says...
Sometimes you don't realize.
And Mike on Twitter says she made it to her 90s. See, ladies, it's good for you. I think there's something to be said for that.
Health benefits. Do you think that she... How long's Ronald been dead?
Was it 2003?
Okay.
Somewhere in there. I don't remember the exact date. It was whatever the year Smarty Jones got beat for the Triple Crown because it would. I was at
2004.
Belmont. 2004. I was at Belmont Park when they announced it because it was the day of the race.
Yeah, and Ronald made it to 93.
Man.
Which is super impressive. And listen, when he found Nancy Reagan, Nancy Reagan was born in 1952. Ronald was born in 1911. He was 41 years older than her. 41. So here's my question. Do you feel that Nancy Reagan had another lover after Ronald died? Or do you think
probably.
Because she was only 52.
Yeah, I would say sure.
I wonder who it was. If you've had sex with Nancy Reagan since 2004, please call the show or tweet us. I'm curious about that.
Or even if you just held hands in the park.
Or that other thing that was supposed to be so good.
Because I wonder if that's – don't drag me into this. Somebody mentions Trump has me beat when it comes to exes.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to be president anyway.
We all keep saying that.
That's true. He might be. Who am I kidding? Let's see how many. What number is he on?
She couldn't have been that much younger than him.
He's on his third spouse.
Okay.
So no, you're still leading.
I have the half.
Yeah, you're still leading now.
713-780 ESPN. Yeah, somebody points out there's no way she could have been born in 52 if she died in her 90s.
Then something's going on with Wikipedia.
Oh, shocker. Wikipedia is wrong.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that again.
Born
in 21, according to.
They were married in 52. Okay. That makes more sense. So she was only 10 years younger.
No, see, that's. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could have seen Nancy in her prime. Like, I wonder what she looked like, because by the time I knew Nancy Reagan, she was old.
Yeah.
Especially to me, like, I was a kid, so she was already an old woman. I wonder what's going on with, I wonder what was going on with her, like, in the 60s, even in the 50s. I bet she was super hot.
Oh, if I could have been born in a different time, I would have liked to have been growing up in the, coming of age in the 60s.
Right.
Because that was a cool time.
I stand corrected on that. I apologize for thinking that Ronald Reagan was such a cradle robber.
Yeah, see?
I didn't mean to badmouth Ronald.
Yeah, don't disrespect Ronald Reagan.
No, he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
7-1-3.
If you don't know that, listen to the Republican debates. They'll tell you how great he was.
Yeah, I love how they all keep trying to say how great he was, and none of them are anywhere near what his politics are.
That's semantics, Fred.
He's still one of my favorite presidents. And sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me.
And
I'm happy for you.
And it was also the first guy I got to vote for president.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So for you. The first president I remember like being alive during.
I just remember him jacking with the Russians and the Soviets at the time.
Yeah.
And I was never a fan of the Soviets.
Like Jimmy Carter was the president when I was born, but he was only there for like a few months. So basically, like when I was growing up, when I was a kid, Ronald Reagan was the president.
I was not a fan of Jimmy Carter. I'm going on record as saying.
I've got nothing to say about Jimmy Carter because I don't know anything about him.
He's done a lot more. He's been better since he's been out of the presidency. He did a lot more after his presidency.
Yeah.
I didn't like him as a president.
He's still hanging in there, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I know he's been real sick.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got some kind of illness, but yeah, I don't know much about him.
So he says 1960 sucked for black people.
Oh,
yeah.
Tell me about it.
I was more focused on the drugs and free sex thing. That's all. And the growth of rock and
Fred's
roll.
Fred's not black, so he didn't worry about things like that.
Anyway. All right. Guys, I got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And if you've been thinking about making that decision, you've been thinking about making that phone call and saying, hey, I need to lose weight. You look in the mirror and you say, oh, man, are you looking at your Facebook photos? That's kind of what did it for me. And you say, man, this is not how I want to look. This is not what I want to be. Well, give Quick Weight Loss Center a call because they're going to be able to help you out. They're going to help you lose weight. You're going to lose it faster, easier, up to 100 pounds or more. You stick to this program, I promise you, it's guaranteed. They've been helping people for 28 years now. No exercise required, no prepackaged meals. The cool thing is, once you get the weight off, if you want to get back in the gym and start exercising, that's what I wanted to do. It's going to change your life. It's going to get you healthier. You get to be active again. All the things you miss doing, they're right there for you. All you got to do is go to Quick Weight Loss. Right now, 6 weeks, $66. All weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. For your free, no obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 Houston area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com, or better yet, give them a call right now, especially if you're outside of Houston. They have a home program that'll work for you. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Doesn't look like we'll have Jerome today.
No!
Must have injured himself in the garden again. So,
damn shame.
It's all right. We'll keep talking to the people. Didn't get a chance to talk about Megatron, and I thought somebody asked an interesting question about the 2021 Hall of Fame, Joe, on Twitter. Who's in, who's out of these five? He mentions Manning, Megatron, Woodson, Lynch, and Allen. I would think Manning, Woodson, locks. Jared Allen, man, if you look at his numbers, it's I think he's got a real good shot of getting in.
He is tied for ninth all time on the sacks list, 136 sacks, which is more than Lawrence Taylor, more than Derek Thomas, more than Dwight Freeney, more than Robert Mathis, more than Terrell Suggs. That's a lot of good players he's ahead of. I think he'll get in. I don't think he'll be on the first ballot.
I agree, but I think that's an interesting one.
He's tied with Julius Peppers for ninth on the list, by the way. Mm. You think Julius Peppers is the Hall of Famer?
I think when it's said and done, he's another one that I think you're going to look at. And I think you have to look at terms of how many times he made All-Pro and things of that nature.
Right.
But he's had a pretty remarkable career. Now, he's not the player he was. But
and Jared Allen, by the way, did it in 2 years less than Julius Peppers. He's been in the league since 2004, Peppers since 2002. So
there was a time you could have made a case that Jared Allen was the best defensive end in football.
Yeah, for a
stretch there when he
absolutely
when he was at the end of his Chiefs career and when he moved on, for that stretch there he was pretty damn incredible. So that one will be an interesting one.
But Peyton Manning's a first ballot guy.
Yeah, I think Woodson's a first ballot guy.
I think Megatron is eventual. I don't know. Jared Allen, I think. Yeah, I think he'll get in. I'm guessing Marshawn Lynch is not a Hall of Famer.
Probably not. And I'm also, I just think Megatron, in the end, didn't put up enough numbers. I think if he plays three more years, probably. Was he the best receiver in football for a stretch? Absolutely.
For probably a five-year stretch.
Yeah. And does he look the part? But we talk all the time about how hard it is for receivers to get in. And I think numbers-wise, I just don't know if he's going to have enough. In my mind, he is, but I think T.O. is too, and those old guys don't agree with me. Mike P. says, per Ian Rappaport, Bruce Irvin is going to sign a $50 million deal with Jacksonville. Jacksonville spending that money.
Yep, enjoy him. It's a guy who I think is going to sorely miss the environment he was in.
Yep. There's certain guys that I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on. Usually it's any Seattle defensive guy because, for the most part, they're in a system. I mean, they're so good at finding the perfect guys for their system. And pretty much any Patriot offensive guy, they're never going to be as good.
Does the fact that, let's see if this number sways you on Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson averages, or averaged, I should say, 86.1 yards per game receiving over his NFL career. Here's a couple Hall of Famers. Jerry Rice, 75.6. Michael Irvin, 74.9. Even guys like T.O., 72.8. Randy Moss, 70.1. 86.1 yards per game was the average for Calvin Johnson. And you're right, he didn't have as long of a career as a lot of those guys. He's going to end up playing eight seasons in the league. But my goodness, I mean, that's – and this is one of those things where I talked to we talked to those guys at the Super Bowl about, you know, what makes a Hall of Famer. On eye test, Calvin Johnson, physically, I've never seen anything like him. I've never seen something that big that moves that fast and is so good at what he does. He's a complete player. And I think if he had a full career, we'd be talking about him in the same breath as Jerry Rice.
I agree. But I do think in the end, that's probably going to cost him because they didn't have very many winning records while he was there.
That's true.
And he had the one monster season in 2012, but that was the only year he had more than 100 catches in his entire career. So those are the kind of things that are going to count against him. Now, he was a touchdown machine, and to me, he should be, but I think that one's going to be a little more tricky.
I think in 2012, I wish he would have got that 2,000 yards. He almost had it. That was so close.
Because that's something you could say, to me, that almost puts you over the top.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's a, like I said, for my money, there's not even a question who the best route wide receiver in the league was over about a five-year span. It wasn't debatable, and it was him. And, if for 5 years you're unquestionably the best player at your position, that, to me, that's a Hall of Famer. But I also understand, playing a long time goes a long way, and 9 years is not a long time. Although I start to give these guys some credit for walking away and trying to preserve their health.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's something that 5 years from now, we may look at that and go, you know what, that guy walked away before he had concussion syndrome and things like that. So, and here's the other thing about that guy. I mean, he missed maybe 7-8 games his entire career. So that's a hell of a player, in my opinion. He should be a Hall of Famer. Again, I don't know if he will be because I think T.O. should be a Hall of Famer without even a discussion, but he's not. So, but I think Calvin Johnson is one of the best I've ever seen play for sure.
281 makes a point. A lot of those guys played a little too long, which hurt their yards per game average at the end of their career. And I'm sure his would go down if he kept playing. But I think that would – the numbers he would put up.
But I respect guys like that who leave while they're still a great player. I don't want Seahawks Jerry Rice running around out there.
Or Cardinals Emmett Smith.
No, that to me that's the worst. Or last two seasons of Craig Biggio. At some point, just know, hey, you had a great career, walk away from it. Don't just try to stack up some numbers, it'll sneak you into the Hall of Fame.
Indeed.
To me, he's one of the guys who's a Hall of Famer.
Indy Andre Johnson.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Or Jacksonville Arian Foster next year.
Lamont asks if Randy Moss is a first ballot. 100% not. In my world,
mine
he would
too.
Be. It wouldn't even be a discussion. He'd be first ballot, sure thing. But again, talking to these old heads that vote for the Hall of Fame, there is zero chance Randy Moss is going to be a first ballot guy.
But you know what? The one positive to that is I've been telling you this stuff for years. And when you actually got a chance to sit down with them and hear the way they think, it changes.
It's insane.
It changes your... Well, not just understanding, but it changes who you think is going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And
what they need is for some of these old people to die. I mean, no offense to those guys we talked to. I'd like them to have a good life, but...
Oh, and I like those guys. Don't get me wrong. But that's just three of them. That thought process is all those guys.
Yeah.
And that's why it's difficult for guys that you know, we might see as Hall of Famers again. Because to me, T.O. is a Hall of Famer. Calvin Johnson would be a Hall of Famer. Randy Moss. All of those guys. But
that's what I think. Like, I think of – since I've been watching football, and I know these are always stupid, but if I made a Mount Rushmore of wide receivers I've seen play football in my life, it takes me 3 seconds to come up with it. It's Jerry Rice, T.O., Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. And you can name another name, and there were some great receivers in the 80s. There's been there's some good receivers now. None of them are bumping one of those four off my list because I saw those guys play. I saw how dominant they were at their best. That's the best four wide receivers I've ever seen play football in my lifetime. And yours may be different. I don't know. I kind of doubt it, actually.
I can't, because the guys that I grew up watching, like, or when the Chargers had all of those great receivers, when Fouts was there, I wouldn't put any of them up there. And I can't argue with that list. And in their prime, is there anybody else you'd rather have than those four?
Would you rather have Lynn Swann?
Get out of here.
Lynn Swann's a Hall of Famer, and Calvin Johnson might not be. T.O. might not be. Randy Moss might not. If those guys don't get in the Hall of Fame, I'm just going to stop respecting the NFL Hall of Fame.
Well, it was a different...
And by the way, Lynn Swann has already come out and says he doesn't think Megatron's a Hall of Famer.
Of course he has.
Even though his numbers are across the board better than yours, Lynn Swann, you just happened to play on a good football team that won some championships. He played for the Lions.
Yeah, in an era where there was no salary cap and they could keep all you guys together for an entire stretch. And,
cool story.
And I don't want to take away from those teams because they were great, but the same thing with the Cowboys. With Jimmy Johnson. I mean, you could keep those teams together.
Yeah. Lynn Swann.
One correction before we go to break. That Bruce Irvin tweet.
Yeah.
That was from a fake Ian Rappaport account.
Oh, okay.
It's at Rap Shield is the account that came from.
Sneaky fake Ian Rappaport got you, Fred?
No, he got whoever it was that I quoted on here.
Oh, okay.
So, fine. Derek says BBA has to be BBWA has to be worse than football writers when it comes to Hall of Fame voting, but both make players way too long. Yeah, I think it's a very similar problem. It's a lot of old guys that just don't look at it the way that the rest of us look at it. I'm kind of having problems with old people this week. I really am. Between being accosted by them and the way they vote for their Hall of Fames. Anyway, older people. Because I freely admit I'm old. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. There's something for everyone at the Inspire Sports League Physique, Fitness, and Bodybuilding Championships at the George R. Brown. Get off the couch and get moving Saturday, March 12th. Get the kids in the Presidential Fitness Challenge, football and baseball skills, martial arts, and youth powerlifting. While you learn health, fitness, cooking, and eating tips from the pros, check out the fitness, figure, and bikini contest. Log on to InspireSL.com for tickets and more info. And is this right? Soccer Matters is on again tonight?
Yep.
Back-to-back nights?
Yes. Soccer Matters, two nights in a row because he's out having surgery a couple weeks ago, so he wanted to make up for those shows.
Nice.
Yeah, I listened a little bit last night on the way home. He was talking about how the Dynamo were exciting. And scored three goals, but then they gave up one in the very end for a tie. A draw, excuse me.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to get this right. A couple things. Michael said, if Nancy Reagan wanted me to get with her at 90+, I would do it because I'm a patriot. Hashtag Merca.
Good call.
I would do it simply because, you know, I'd like to have that name on my list. It didn't matter how. We've been through this before. It doesn't matter how old some of these, like Betty White. Yeah, absolutely.
Just to say that was on your list. Yeah. Brooke says Julio, in regards to our discussion, Julio's been in the league for 5 years. One of them, he missed pretty much the entire season with an injury. Get with me in 5 years, and I'll let you know.
Same thing I'll say about A.J. Green. Same thing I'll say about Dez Bryant. Those guys, I think, have potential. Yeah, Odell Beckham.
Those guys haven't had a career yet.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson has had a career. Even if it was a short one, the numbers he's put up in that time are enough to warrant this discussion. Julio Jones, he's been really good. But, I mean, he's played four seasons in the NFL, basically.
Home Dudes asked, did you check out the premiere of the new show Damien last night on A&E? Looks like it has promise. I did not.
I didn't either.
I'm kind of on I'm on Better Call Saul, Vinyl, and Outsiders right now are the ones I'm watching.
Jay says Tim Brown over T.O. Okay.
Yeah.
Tim Brown is the epitome of a Craig Biggio guy.
Yeah, who hung around and put up numbers.
That's a stat compiler. I mean, T.O., bro. People forget how dominating that guy was. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion. Dana says, does Patrick Willis make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
ballot.
I was just about to get to that. I don't know.
I don't
think so.
He doesn't jump out to me as a Hall of Fame guy.
And a great question from Derek. If you take away Super Bowl rings, how many Hall of Famers wouldn't have made it?
Tons.
Yeah, it's like Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin wouldn't be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if Troy Aikman
I don't think Troy Aikman would be a Hall of Famer. But you win a bunch, that's part of it. They want guys who prove they could win. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I have a weird thing with elevators. I've had bad luck with them, and that's not a good thing when you live in a high-rise. But
no.
I've never had luck this bad. Elevator maintenance men were returning to work after a month-long break for Chinese New Year. Well, you get a month off for Chinese New Year? Wow. Made a horrific discovery when they opened the cab of a broken elevator and found the body of a woman who had been trapped inside since late January and starved to death.
Oh, no.
The incident, which is from Xi'an, I believe, renowned as the home of China's terracotta warriors, has sparked outrage over the apparent negligence of the elevator repair company and the building's management office. How do you not have a cell phone or something you can call from? But apparently she was in there. I mean,
for even do Morse code banging on the door.
Well, apparently authorities said the case involved gross negligence on the part of the elevator maintenance company, and at least one reasonable person has been detained in connection with the investigation. It has been classified as a negligent homicide. The victim was identified only by her surname, Wu. Investigators said when her corpse was found, her hands were mangled, apparently due to her attempts to pry the cab doors open. And although a month-long wait to repair an elevator seems unusual even by Chinese standards, many businesses and services grind to a halt during the New Year holiday. So although the official break only lasts about a week, many workers take time off before and after, causing serious disruption to many commercial services. That is like the worst thing. On my list of ways I do not want to die, that is up there.
Yeah, I'm against that.
I mean, I don't like anything where you, like, being buried alive would be awful. But being stuck in an elevator and dying in that, that'd be pretty brutal.
That's a rough way to go.
Bryce says, don't elevators have emergency phones? Maybe not in China. I don't know what the setup is. But, yeah, the ones that I'm on at home that get stuck all the time have phones at least.
That's good.
So, and I've never
My house just has stairs.
Well, I've never been stuck more than about 15 minutes in there, but they were telling me one night.
That's way too long to be stuck in an elevator.
Well, they were telling me one night that
I would panic in 15 minutes.
Usually they call the fire department. The fire department gets there and gets them out. There was some Saturday night in our building that the security guard, when I take the dog out on Sunday mornings, always tells me the stories of all the wild things that happened in the building.
Right.
There was a group of people that tried to get too many of them on the elevator. They were stuck for an hour and a half.
Oh.
If you can imagine being stuck in a full elevator for an hour and a half. I think the worst one
I have a panic attack, probably.
The worst one I ever had was at the Kentucky Derby one year. They used to have this really crappy elevator that we all had to get in, and people were carrying cameras and stuff in there. And so you'd have 20 people in this little tiny elevator. We got stuck for half an hour.
I hate the ride up to the press box at the Texans games. And the ride down even more so, because everybody's trying to leave at the same time. and they wedge people in there as much as possible. I always find myself kind of waiting until to be one of the last guys to go down the elevator so I don't have to ride with 16 other people.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of gross media guys. And even though Barry Warner says I'm filthy, trust me, you get around sports media, you'll think I'm Mr. Clean.
Oh, some of those people, they don't even bathe. It's pathetic. Wow. Back Row Baptist said he was stuck in an elevator for 13 hours with two other dudes.
Oh, two dudes?
Ugh. See, you know, if I were going to be stuck for 13 hours, I would hope it would be with some young hottie with loose morals and...
Right.
You know, something like that. If I'm going to be stuck for 13 hours, I'd be like, what are we going to do here for 5 minutes of the 13 hours? Anyway, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day.
I'd also go with,
it's the Gem of the Day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. Law enforcement stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. If your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed one of those tests, the police gave you the breath or the blood test. Police breath test machines are inaccurate. They're not even warranted fit for breath testing on humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Failing that test isn't the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with that machine. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your blood like you would think, like a medical doctor would do. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. He's right here in Houston. And what that means, DWI specialist, it means he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. A lot of lawyers will take DWI cases. Not very many are experienced in going to trial. Gary Trichter is. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your phone now at 713-524-1010 or visit him online, texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.